Why, of course. Even the way she dresses. That frilly pink dress and borrowing a real crinoline. He went on to talk of her for quite a quarter of a mile. How different she was from the average modern girl. And because of that, he hadn't understood her. Had thought her affected. When what she was, of course, was unique. And she is so intelligent. He kindly said I was too. But Rose is a wit. A fact not as yet disclosed to her family. As for looks, she'd have been a toast at any period of history. I could wholeheartedly agree about the looks. We crossed the green and turned down the short lane that leads to the prettiest bit of Godsend. The church, which is Norman, and a bit of it may be Saxon, stands on one side of the lane between the Queen Anne Vicarage and Miss Marcy's little 18th century schoolhouse. The Keys Inn is opposite. There is a bench with a long table against the front of the inn, partly shaded by the chestnut, and sitting there, with stone bottles of ginger beer, were Rose and Neil. It turned out that she had come across the fields from Four Stones to get a cake of scented soap from the post office shop, and had found Neil there buying cigarettes. "And when I said you'd be along soon, she very obligingly waited," he told Simon. Perhaps I imagined it, but I did think he sounded a bit satirical. We sat down, Simon by Rose. Neil asked me what I would have to drink. "Could I have a cherry brandy? I've always wanted to taste it." "You can't drink liqueurs before lunch," said Rose in a very grown-up way. "Yes, she can if she wants to," said Neil, going into the bar. Rose shrugged her shoulders rather histrionically and turned to talk to Simon. He did look pleased to see her. After a few minutes, he suggested we should all lunch there and called out to Neil to arrange it. As a rule, Mrs. Jakes only serves bread and cheese, but she managed cold sausages as well, and some honey and cake. Cherry brandy is wonderful. But I don't think my haze of content was all due to the cherry brandy. The glasses are so small. It was everything together that was so pleasant. The food out of doors, the sunshine, the sky through the chestnut tree, Neil being nice to me, and Simon being more than nice to Rose. And, of course, the cherry brandy did help. While Neil was getting me my second glass, I took a good look at Rose. She was wearing her very oldest dress, a washed-out blue cotton, but it looked exactly right for sitting outside an inn. One branch of the chestnut came down behind her head, and, while I was watching, a strand of her bright hair got caught across a leaf. "Is that branch worrying you?" Simon asked her. "Would you like to change places? I hope you wouldn't, because your hair looks so nice against the leaves." I was glad he had been noticing. Rose said the branch wasn't worrying her in the least. When Neil came back with my second cherry brandy, she said, "Well, now that we've finished lunch, I'll have one too." I knew very well she had been envying mine. Then she called after him, "No, I won't. I'll have a creme de menthe." I was surprised because we both tasted that at Aunt Millicent's once and hated it heartily. But I saw what she was after when she got it. She kept holding it up so that the green looked beautiful against her hair, though of course it clashed quite dreadfully with the chestnut leaves. I must say she was being more affected than I ever saw her, but Simon appeared to be enchanted. Neil didn't. He winked at me once and said, "Your sister'll be wearing that drink as a hat any minute." The Cottons said they would drive us home. Neil went to settle with Mrs. Jakes, and I routed Heloise out of the kitchen. She was bloated with sausage. When we got back to the castle, I felt that it was only polite to ask them in, but Neil had made an appointment for Simon with the Scotney agent. "Did Simon fix anything about seeing us again?" I asked Rose as we watched them drive away. "Don't worry, they'll be round," she spoke quite scornfully. I resented it after the Cottons had been so nice to us. "Very sure of yourself, aren't you?" I said. Then something struck me. "Oh, Rose, you're not still counting it against them, what I overheard them say about you." "I am against Neil. He's my enemy," She flung back her head dramatically. I told her not to be an idiot. But he is. He as good as told me so, before you came this morning. He said he was hoping Simon would come back to America with him. Well, that doesn't make him your enemy, I said. But I must admit that his manner to her is a bit antagonistic. Yes, it does. Anyway, I hate him, but he shan't interfere. She was flushed, and her eyes had a desperate look, a look that somehow made me ashamed for her. Oh, Rose, don't bank on things too much, I begged. Simon may not have the faintest idea of proposing. American men are used to being just friends with girls, and they probably think we're too comic for words, just as Neil thinks the English country is. Blast Neil! She cried furiously. I would rather see her furious than desperate. It made me think of the day she turned on a bull that was chasing us. Remembering this made me feel very fond of her. So I told her all the nice things Simon had said about her on our walk to Godsend.